My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Speaking of the Browns, former Cleveland Browns quarterback, local legend Brian Hoyer joins us right now on that North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing wonderful here. Did you hear a clip of Tua Tagovailoa talking about the differences between Brian Flores and Mike McDaniel? Did you hear this clip before?
You know what? It came across my social media feed, so I read a little bit of the article. I didn't hear the clip, but I read it, so I kind of know what you're talking about.
Okay. Would you want us to play it for you? We could play it for you, because I got questions about this. Is that okay?
Sure, yeah, play it. That way I know the whole context.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
If you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. You are accurate. You are the best whatever. You are this. You are that. How would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it. You hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad, and you hear it more and more, you start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear, or that you probably shouldn't be hearing. You're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening. I mean, it's basically been, 2 years of training that out of not just me, but a couple of the guys as well that have been here since my rookie year all the way till now.
Audio courtesy of MetalArk Media. So, Brian, we heard that, and it got us thinking about the way to coach not just quarterbacks, but kids in general. You've had some obviously iconic coaches, really, really good coaches that have done it in different ways. How do you feel about that when you hear Tua talk about the different styles of coaches that just coached him? Do you feel there is a right way and a wrong way?
I mean, look, I think there's more than one way to skin a cat. I played for Bill Belichick for a long time, and when you would mess up in practice the next day, he'd say he can go get the quarterback at Foxborough High to do a better job than you. So everybody's motivated differently, and everybody responds differently. And the one thing I noticed over a 15-year career is, you know, and I'm aging myself, and when I say I'm old, you know, older people say you're still young, but the newer generation of player, they want to know how much you care about them. They want to be built up. They want to be, that's how they've been, you know, brought up their whole life. If you're a stud athlete, you know, even when I was growing up, you know, yeah, people would pat you on the back, but it was like, okay, what else are you going to do? What are you going to do the next time? And so I think, you know, some of that older style of coaching, you know, doesn't always sit well with these younger generation of players. And obviously Flora B. Flow, you know, coached under Bill for a long time, and that's what he saw day in and day out, and it worked for a lot of guys that we played with. I think that was just, it added extra motivation. You're going to prove these guys wrong. And the one thing that I would always say when people ask me about Bill and New England, we had such a great culture of players that the players kind of, we built each other up. We didn't need the coaches to build us up. We kind of group together, and we knew what we were all capable of. And so if you don't have that culture to begin with, and now the coach is breaking you down, you know, sometimes guys just can't handle it.
Is that the secret, Brian, of why it worked for Bill and it doesn't work for just about everybody in his tree when they become head coaches?
Yeah, I think it's so hard because that culture was so established and there were such great leaders on the player side. You know, when I got there, obviously Tom was there, but Matt Light, Kevin Falk, Teddy Bruschi, there was all these guys who had lived and been brought up and had success in this culture, and then everybody else kind of fell in line with those guys. And the players held the players accountable, and the coaches just coached. And I think that's so hard to establish because you're never really establishing the continuity of the coaches and players. And, you know, and then I left. I came and played in Cleveland, played a few other places. I come back, and those leaders are now replaced by guys that I was brought in with, you know, the Matt Slaters, the Julian Edelmans, the Dante Hightowers, the Devin McCourties. You know, so the Patriots for such a long time had such continuity that that leadership torch was passed down from generation to generation player, and I think that's why, coupled along with Bill's coaching, we had so much success.
Yeah, when you think about the coaches that you've been fortunate enough to work with, all the way dating back to high school, one of the great all-time high school coaches, not just in the area, but really the world, in Chuck Kyle. You had a few different coaches at Michigan State, but you know D'Antonio was terrific. And then, my God, I mean, Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, to Kyle Shanahan. What stands out? What does truly stand out about what is effective?
Yeah, I mean, all those guys, very different. I mean, Coach Kyle was a great leader, a great he built you up. He taught you what to do, and then you went out and did it. And very rarely, I don't even remember him really yelling. And then, you know, I go to Michigan State, and Coach D'Antonio was a great coach for me because, you know, when you look at the two biggest influences in his career, it's Nick Saban and Jim Tressel. So I would say he was somewhere in between those guys. You know, Nick Saban, obviously big disciplinarian yeller who, you know, learned a lot from Bill. And so playing for Coach D'Antonio really prepared me to play for Bill because it just was a little bit more towards the Nick Saban side. And then, you know, I played for Kyle Shanahan, who obviously learned from his dad. And Kyle was calm, cool, collected, but he would let you know when you messed up. And then he'd be like, all right, come on, we got to move on to the next play. So I think you, as a player, you know, you can't rely on the coaches. I've always said this. The only thing I ever wanted from a coach was to give me a great game plan, tell me how to do it, and then, you know, help me go out and execute it. I don't need motivation from coaches. I didn't need, you know, to be built up or built, you know, brought down. I just wanted to be told, you know, here's the plays, this is how you do it, this is what the defense is doing, and now it's time to go out and execute it. And so that probably started at, you know, the high school level, having a great coach in Coach Kyle.
Brian Hoyer joining us, former Browns quarterback on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How important is it to play in the preseason for a quarterback?
Well, I think it all depends on, you know, what part of your career you're in. You know, for me as a young guy, undrafted, I needed to play as much as I could just to make the team. If you're an established veteran, I don't think you want to go into the regular season, you know, not having played real football since, you know, last February, January, December, whatever it might be. So you might want a few series just to get out there, execute the offense with new players. So I think it all depends on, you know, what part of the career you're in. You know, what's the situation? Do you have a new coach? Do you have, you know, new players that you want to really get some reps with? And I think the one thing that's really, you know, benefited a lot of, like, the veteran players is that you can do these joint practices. You know, I went the other day and watched the Eagles and Patriots have a joint practice. And, you know, the starters take most of the reps, especially for the quarterbacks, because that's like a game. You're going against the best, you know, the one defense, the one offense. You're doing that in an environment where you're really not in a threat of getting hurt. And so I think you'll see more and more of that with veteran guys is, you know, let's get a joint practice, really use that to our advantage to work some of the things that we wouldn't show in a preseason game anyway.
So one of the things we're grappling with here in Cleveland is a left tackle situation and then a quarterback who has not been in real gameplay since last November. So he's coming off surgery. Is it too much of a risk? Because Stefanski said he would play, but now given the left tackle situation, some are wondering if it would make sense.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it just depends on like what Deshaun needs. You know, I mean, sometimes I remember I was coming off the ACL surgery, obviously, in Cleveland, and obviously there was a little bit of urgency with Johnny, you know, being behind me, and I wanted to play. I needed to get out there, and I remember getting hit for the first time and be like, got hit, checked the knee mentally, and I was like, okay, I'm good. I can play. And so there's a part of that, too, is taking that hit, getting back up and running the next play, because, as we all know, that's a huge part of playing quarterback. So, you know, in the same sense, you look at, you know, Minnesota, their first-round pick, J.J. McCarthy, goes out, plays in the preseason game, tears his meniscus. So I think there's always a little bit of hesitation, because if someone's going to get hurt, you want it to happen when it actually means something and not a meaningless game. So, you know, I don't know if the Browns have done any joint practices, but as a quarterback, that's just as good as a game in my book.
Oh, they did do a joint practice against the Vikings. So, because we've been having this kind of – brought Lima over to my side, because the Browns do not have their starting left tackle available, it seems, on Saturday, and they haven't since he got injured last regular season. And I said, you know, I'm not going to put him in there – because even the backups got hurt in Saturday's game, the preseason game against the Vikings. Both his backups got hurt in that game. And I'm like, I'm not going to put him in there with a guy off the street. But let me ask you, Brian Hoyer, you're the head coach. Say you're the head coach of the football team, 15-year NFL career, the whole deal. Deshaun Watson comes to you. I want to play on Saturday. What do you tell him?
Yeah, I'd say that's fine. I would just, if I'm the play caller, I'm coming up with plays that protects the left side of the line. Maybe it's a rollout to the right. Maybe you're chipping the defensive end. I think, you know, they're dealing with a similar situation here in New England.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
England, you know, who's going to be the left tackle? Who's going to be the right tackle? And the thing that I learned, we talked about all the coaches that I played for, there's really a lot of ways you can help a tackle. There's not so many ways you can help a center, a guard. But the tackles, I mean, I know in Cleveland we had such a great one for a long time, we didn't even have to worry about that. But, you know, I've played in a lot of schemes, a lot of teams that maybe we didn't have a top 10 tackle. But you figure out ways to protect the guy, whether that's chips, whether that's aligning the tight end and giving help. You know, so if Deshaun wants to play, I would say, great, we'll come up with a game plan for 10, 15 plays. You know, quick game, we're going to roll you out to the right, we're going to chip the left end. I think that's totally doable. If your quarterback needs those reps, then you figure out a way to protect that left side.
Brian Hoyer with us right now on the hotline. But you mentioned getting back out there in a real football feel. What is it taking that first hit? It's been a long time since Deshaun Watson has taken a hit. It's something fans certainly take for granted. But we've heard quarterbacks like Joe Burrow recently say, I got to get out there, I got to get hit. What does that truly feel like?
Well, I remember one time it was actually in practice, and of course, the quarterback's not supposed to get practice, but that year coming off the ACL surgery, I think I got one of our linemen pushed back in and right on my right knee where I tore my ACL. And it's almost just a fear of, is it going to be okay? And you sit there on the ground, you do a self-check, get up, move around. You're like, okay, you know, the surgery worked. I've done the rehab. And, you know, playing football, that's the risk of playing football. You got to go out there and do it. And you just have to believe the process and know that you're ready to go. But I think that's a big thing because, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to go into that year not having been hit on that leg, not knowing, and then the first game comes around, you get hit, and you're questioning it in the middle of a game. So it's obviously you don't want to take a big hit, but it's part of the process, and I think it's more mental than anything. It's not the physical part. It's the mental aspect of knowing, you know, I'm back. I had the surgery. I'm in, you know, the doctor said I'm good. I'm going to go out here and play and not worry about it.
Brian Hoyer with us on the show. How important is play calling for a quarterback?
Oh, it's huge. I think the one thing that I learned, and not later in, until later in my career, was how involved you should be as a starting quarterback. And I don't mean that in the sense of sitting there and drawing up plays and telling the coordinator what to run, but just voicing your opinion on, you know, hey, I really like these five pass plays. I don't like these two. You know, because early on, you're trying to just do whatever it is to, you know, at least for me, to keep a starting job or earn a starting job. So you just, I can do that. I can do anything you ask me to do. When in reality, there's certain plays that maybe just don't click. You know, it doesn't really look good in practice. You know, guys aren't really sure what they're doing. And so, you know, some of the best games that I ever played, you know, were up in Chicago where Dal Loggins was the offensive coordinator. He was my quarterback coach in Cleveland. And, you know, he sat me down. He said, look, I don't want to call any plays that you don't like. So come in, you know, we'll go over the game plan. We'll go through the week of practice. And anything you don't like, it's out. We're taking it out. And whether I like it or the quarterback coach likes it or the line coach likes it, ultimately the guy with the ball in his hand needs to like those plays. And that was something I really learned to advocate for yourself as a quarterback is you never want to be in a game. It's 3rd and 8. And here comes it's the 4th/3 down of the game. And it's the 4th least, you know, play that you like, and it's the crucial part of the game, and you don't want to run that play. So that's happened to me, you know, several times, and I think as I learned throughout my career is, you know, be an advocate for yourself, and that's, like I said, not sitting there designing plays and say, here, run this. It's a collaboration with the offensive coordinator, and I think, you know, the best offensive coordinators usually do that.
How long does it take, Brian, to implement a totally new offense, which is what we are kind of told was happening with Ken Dorsey coming over from Buffalo and Van Pelt parting ways with the Browns? So how long does that take? Should we be concerned if by like week 4, it's not looking, you know, all that reasonably different?
I mean, it all depends. It's really, I know we talk about systems and I've played in pretty much every one of them. Plays are plays. It's just, you know, it comes down to verbiage. It comes down to really pass protections are very different from scheme to scheme. You know, so sometimes it could take weeks. Sometimes it could take months. I don't know. I mean, it depends on how far away you're getting from what you did in the previous regime, I would say. I mean, like I said, if you go around and watch football, pretty much everybody's running the same plays, but it's how do you call it? Is there more verbiage? Is there less verbiage? What's the pass protection? How does that affect the communication on the offensive line? And so, you know, sometimes if you're going from one totally different pass protection to another, that's what usually takes the longest. In my opinion, what I've seen, usually the routes, the run game, those things usually come together pretty quick because a lot of that is football that you've been doing since you were in high school, college, any pro team, but the pass protections usually tend to vary pretty much the biggest as far as, you know, going from a scheme to a different scheme. Now, sometimes there are similarities and people pick it up a little bit quicker. So, you know, it just depends. And a lot of times how fast guys pick it up is how well are they doing as a unit as opposed to individuals.
What truly is the job of Jameis Winston as the backup quarterback? What are his responsibilities, and do you think he is the perfect guy to do just that this year for Deshaun Watson?
I mean, amazing pregame speeches would be number one, I would say. I mean, when has anyone ever watched Jameis give a pregame speech and not loved it? So I think having a guy who brings energy, knows the role that he's in, and then also is ready to play at a moment's notice, I mean, those are kind of the three big things right there for a backup, especially a veteran backup, is, you know, be ready to play, help the team in any way you can. Obviously, you see, you know, the enthusiasm, and this guy knows he's not going to be the starter, so he just loves being out there, loves football. And then most importantly is, you know, be ready to go if something were to happen to Deshaun. I think those are the best things. So, in my opinion, you know, a guy like Jameis is a great option because he's played a lot of football. He's played a lot of good football. He knows the role. He signed up. He knows he's not coming in there being like, I'm going to try to be the starter. I'm going to try to push, you know, these guys. I'm going to come in, support Deshaun, play well when I get the opportunity, and be enthusiastic about it.
Do pregame speeches work? Because I'm trying to find where Joe Banner kind of tweeted about it with Jameis Winston, and it didn't seem to get him. So in the NFL, do pregame speeches really work?
In my opinion, pregame speeches kind of go out the door once you leave college, because we're grown men, and if you need a pregame speech to get ready to play at your job, I think that's kind of, you know. But I think it's all, you know, some people it works for. I've never really been one to either be motivated by them or give them or anything like that. But, you know, it's the one that I'll always remember was before the Super Bowl, we play in the Rams, and here's Tom Brady, who rarely ever would give a pregame speech. But he got up there and he said, "We win this game, and your family is respected for all time. Your name is respected for all time because you're on a team that will go down in the history books that will never be forgotten." And that was one that really hit me, because when you realize that, you know, only one team at the end of the year finishes their season on a good note and a happy note, and then it's then immortalized, really. You know, they're not going to remember, you know, the team that lost in the AFC Championship game, or you basically, if you lose the AFC Championship game, you end the season the same way as the team that didn't even make the playoffs. And having, you know, lost two Super Bowls, I came to realize that. So that was one, and it really stuck with me, and it's probably the one I only remember from 15 years of playing.
Brian Hoyer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How do you like doing the preseason games over there in New England?
It's been fun. You know, the way that we did it here is a little bit different, having really four ex-players kind of, I think the model was to sit down and kind of imagine you're at the bar watching with us, and try to just be as insightful as we could, get to break down a few plays and kind of educate the fans on, you know, what's going. We had a good one the other night with Drake May, had a big third down conversion that I kind of went through the whole read and showed his footwork. And so I think a different approach, and I think a lot of people had fun with it. Obviously, I played with the McCourty twins, and we have great relationships, so it was fun to be there with them. And I don't know how much you guys know about Scott Zolak, but he always keeps it entertaining up here and fun. And the guy played in the early 90s to mid-90s. I mean, this is a true throwback guy. So we had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, he's. I've heard him. He's nuts, but in a good way. In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way.
Brian, thank you for stopping by. We appreciate your time, and hopefully we can get you again soon.
All right, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Brian Hoyer, former Browns quarterback on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He says play him.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.